Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here today. Another exciting day in the world of hockey, Tim, isn't it? It's always nice when something happens, you can talk about it. You don't have to just scramble to find something to talk about every, we do three episodes a week, you guys. This is abnormal. Most people do what, one a week, Tim? Maybe
one,
two?
Maybe two. Yeah, maybe two. Three's a lot.
We're three. Going on. We're three. I remember there was a time we did like every day when it was just, I think it was the playoffs, and we just wanted to talk. It was exciting. Times were good.
We were incentivized to record as many as possible many, many moons ago. That was like, the more episodes you do, the more you get paid. So,
is that how it worked? No, we're not. We're not incentivized anymore.
At all.
Not, no. Okay. Three is solid. I enjoy it. But thanks, everybody, for joining us. I hope you enjoy the amount of episodes we're doing. Because I do. It's fun to see Tim's face every 3 days. And it's fun to talk hockey. You know what I mean, Tim? And there's lots to talk about. But first of all, this episode's brought to you by Bet99. It's voted the number one online gaming experience in Canada with same game day parlays, player props, flash bet markets. You can elevate your experience, Tim, at Bet99. Today's picks, friend of the show, Seth Jarvis, scored 5 goals in his last 6 games, scored last night versus the New York Islanders. He's been on fuego. Tim, who's your pick, today's pick for you?
I'm going to go with another friend of the show, Brady Tkachuk, scored again last night as well. He's got 4 goals in his last 3 games, including a hat trick over the weekend. So he's really hot right now.
He's hot. The Senators are not, but both players are doing very, very well. You have to be 19 or older to play on Bet99, and you should play responsibly, and it's available to people only in Ontario. That's it. Ontario, Canada, not Ontario, California. You little sneaky Ontario, California people. Sorry. Ontario, Canada. Bet99 is built by Canadians for Canadians. All right. Moving on. Chris Simon passed away, unfortunately, at the age of 52. This is a tough topic for me personally, just because obviously I've dealt with this situation. There was that terrible year when there was Boogie, there was Rick Rippon, there was Montador, there was Ray Emery. There was just, it seemed like it was an unending list of guys who I knew and were close with were passing away and dying for all kinds of different reasons. And Chris Simon now pops his head up. It seems like the tough guys are the ones getting, you know, affected. And the main reason seems to be the CTE. I'm not an expert. Tim's not an expert. I am more closely associated with this because I did the same job as Chris Simon. He had over 100 fights in his NHL career. I had under. I think I was around total professional, maybe just shy of 100. I want to say 80 to 90. But then I fought when I was growing up and fought in juniors. So that, you know, it's a real live issue for me. And when something like this happens, you have to sit back and take stock of like, okay, like, am I okay? What's going on? Like, is this something for me? And it's terrible. Nobody knows the circumstances why he died. People think it's self-inflicted. I don't know any more information other than what I hear from everybody else here. So it's just, it's really terrible. You know, a guy died. And, all hockey aside, he was a father, he's a husband, he was a, you know, teammate. So, you know, I don't know what else to say. It's just a really terrible situation. It hits different when it's the same type of position that you are. I think about it when I get angry, or I just have times where I just lash out at people, or I just, yeah, it's just weird. So anyways, I don't know, Tim. I don't know what else to say on it. I'm not going to like try to explain it or try to solve the world problem on CTE. Different people have different perspectives. Dan Carcillo is dead set against it. He wants to like take down the NHL and have them pay for everything and, you know, that sort of thing. And I'm on the other side of the coin. I think I signed up for this. You know, whatever issues I have, I'm ready to deal with it. I'm fine with that. It's a weird dynamic. I don't know. Anyways, what do you think, Tim?
Is this sort of thing on your wife's radar at all in terms of like the lingering impact of CTE and the other guys like you who have had issues? Like, would she pay attention to your symptoms or anything like that? Or is this not even something she'd think about?
I don't think she thinks about it whatsoever. We've talked about it a few times But no, not really. We have so much stuff going on in our life. Like, she's pregnant with number 8. We're building a house. We have a million different things to worry about than my head. So I at the end of the day, I firmly believe, again, the thing that keeps me sane is my faith and my family. And that's the two things that I lean on. And without those two, I think I would be in the same spot as, you know, Boogie was in. I think I would be in the same spot that Chris Simon was in. I think I would be in the same spot that all those other guys were. But I'm very blessed to have those things in my life. So it is what it is. I don't want to go, you know, on a pedestal and say, you should do this, you shouldn't do that. I don't have the podium to do that. So the guy died. It's very sad. So no. I guess we should move on. I just wanted to touch on it because I was a fighter, right? And I played with Chris, like with the Minnesota Wild. I remember him at camp, Mountain of a Man. Like, he theoretically took my spot 1 year because it was him, Bugard, and Fedoric in Minnesota. Like, that was the toughest trio ever. It's crazy to think that two of the three are now passed away. And he was only 52. Like, my kids, I was talking about it yesterday. My kids are like, how old was he? I'm like, 52. Like, not that old. It's young. It's younger than grandpa. I know. It's crazy. And I was trying to tell him, like, he did the same thing I did. So it's a very sobering thing. Anyways, moving on to some hockey talk. We'll try to refresh here. Fun story, oddly enough, coming out of Philadelphia. It wasn't a month ago. We talked about Sean Couturier, the new captain of the Philadelphia Flyers. He epitomized what it meant to be a Philadelphia Flyer. Hardworking, salt-of-the-earth type player. Does everything really well. Not a very showy player, Tim. Just showed up to work with his lunch pail and did his job and threw some points on the board. And the prototypical captain that John Tortorella likes, a Ryan Callahan type captain, who we had with the New York Rangers, those types of players. Well, lo and behold, Torts didn't get that memo. He healthy scratched his captain last night when the Philadelphia Flyers faced off against Toronto Maple Leafs. And there were some interesting comments before the game, after the game, a few weeks before the game, all leading up to this. And there were some things I didn't realize that happened that maybe spurred on this incident. But just to kind of go back a few steps, Sean Couturier has been in a little bit of a slump. He, you know, had a good first start to his season, but in his last, 27 games, he scored 1 goal. And he has 1 assist in the last 9 games. To compound that, he's been eating minuses. And Tortorella prides himself on a defensive first mentality. You have to be a part of the team. You're not in it for yourself. I don't care how many points you get as long as we get the win. I was in the locker room when he would rip apart Marian Gaborik, the most talented guy on the planet, some would say, and he would scream at him, Gabby, you got to get in the lane. You got to get in the lane. Because Gabby wasn't getting in the lane from a Shea Weber slap shot. Gabby's like, I'm not blocking that. Torts is like, well, you're not going to play. So this guy demands everybody does that. And if you're Sean Couturier, who has an eighth of a talent as Marian Gaborik did, and you're not doing the things that Torts wants you to do, well, he's going to send a message. And the message was sent last night when he benched, healthy scratched, his captain for the first time all season long. So there's more information on this. But first, I want to get your take, Tim. What do you think of Torts benching his captain? His captain.
Well, right away, you go to this being the player's not playing good enough, and this is a message-sending thing to both the player and the rest of the team. Because last night's game was a must-win, as is basically every game for these teams on the fringe of the playoffs and the wild card. Entering this game, Philadelphia had fallen out of third in the Metro, and they were in the wild card spot. So this was like they needed this win. It was a very, very tight race. Detroit's right there, Tampa, like all these teams are barking at the door. And so they needed this win. So it wasn't just a matter of like sending a message for the sake of it, because you know that if you take out one of your best players and you lose, that's on you, the coach, now. You know what I mean? And so Couturier spoke before the game and he was very frustrated. And there's a lot that goes into this. And we're going to spend a few minutes on it because there's just so much. It's just rich with like great little quotes and just information that makes it such a fascinating and I think fun story. But Couturier said, quote, I've been putting the work in for a while. I've been struggling, but I've been working on my game. and it's frustrated the way that I've been treated around here lately, but it is what it is. Frustrating the way that I've been treated around here lately. That's not mincing words. And this is a guy who's like basically never been in the press or the media for anything that he said. Like this, like you said before, this is a quiet, like show up and do your job type player. And he's not an outspoken captain. And to say that the way that I've been treated around here lately, what's lately? He didn't play last year. So what's lately? Is it this new coach? Let's talk about that. What do you think? What did that quote sound like?
So if I'm putting myself in John Tortorella's shoes, I see this quote and it just infuriates me. Because you want a player who is tough and you want a player who just does his job, and you don't want someone who whines about, oh, you're being treated unfairly. What the heck does that mean? You think you're better than everybody else on the team? I guarantee you Tort saw this quote and it just made his blood boil. And it's just, it gives him fuel to bench him even more because he's not drinking the Kool-Aid. He's still worried about himself. And towards himself, I'm sure he heard this. I'm sure he heard this quote before the game. And so the Flyers go out, and the worst thing to happen for Sean Couturier, the worst thing that could happen is the Flyers win this game versus a very good Toronto team who's been playing really well. Flyers go out and win 4-3. And John Tortorella doesn't answer any questions about Couturier because the people are asking, well, what were you trying to this and that? What were you trying to do with Sean Couturier? But he does say this little nugget. They go, well, what was your success due to tonight? Why do you think you guys won? In typical Torts, he goes, it was a lack of dead weight. A lack of dead weight. So he dodges every single question about Couturier. Oh, you and Sean, have you guys talked? You know, have you heard what Sean said? What's going on? Are you guys okay? He just, you know, no comment, typical Torts style. But then he goes, well, the reason we won tonight was because of lack of dead weight. Isn't that funny? Like, it's honestly, it's very funny. And then everybody knows what he's talking about. He's talking about Sean Couturier. He's dead weight. Isn't that great, Tim?
It's like, there's so much happening here. It's like a game, like chess, right? And you know that Torts wasn't ready, wouldn't have taken this public the way that it was if he hadn't have seen that quote from Couturier, you know? And then, and Couturier fires the first shot saying, I don't like the way I've been treated around here. And Torts is like, all right, load the cannon. We're firing back. And then he fires back the shot across the bow. It says, yeah, lack of dead weight is the key to the reason that we won this game. Against a good team in a must-win game, and they were led by Tippett and Morgan Frost, I think, had 2 points each. So if you're Coots, what do you – I mean, does this – before we get into – there's a theory being pushed around about where all this is coming from. But before we get into that, like, is this – how do I want to word this? If you're a captain or any player in the team, when the coach calls this scratching you the lack of dead weight – is that irreparable? Like, is this something you can get over and remend that relationship? Or this, like, man, those are shots fired. This is personal now.
I don't know. Different people would take it differently. I'm hoping that Tortorella is using this as a motivation factor, trying to get Couturier to kind of improve his game, whatever that means. But for me personally, that would be hard. That would be hard to kind of come back from. Oh, you think I'm dead weight? Oh, okay. That sucks. Like that's tough. And I was a fourth line guy who my longest contract was 2 years. You're talking about a guy who just signed last year an 8-year, $62 million deal. You're calling your franchise player, your captain, who will be the captain for the next 7 years, dead weight. You're not calling Nick Deloria dead weight or Garnet Hathaway or someone who's expendable. No, you're calling your captain, the guy who makes the most money on your team and will make the most money on your team for the next 7 years, dead weight. You just healthy scratched your highest paid player. It's bonkers. It's absolutely wild. And that's the thing. You're not scratching a guy who is like a score, like a Nail Yakupov type, or a guy who's just out there to solely score goals. That's not who Sean Couturier is. He's a meat and potatoes guy. He's going to win you draws. He's going to block shots. He's going to be physical. He's going to play responsibly. So you're benching him That's crazy. Like, that doesn't happen. Throw him on the floor, fine. No, we're gonna gas him. He's out. He's done. He's dead weight. And then you beat Toronto. Oh, my goodness. After that game, I bet he went back to his locker room, his little change, and he was so happy. Like, just, I nailed it. I'm the man. You know what I mean? Like, how good must he feel? Toronto's a good team. And they just were, and obviously Toronto, I think, hit 6 or 7 posts. But he must feel pretty good. And Couturier must have went home going, damn it. How do we beat the Leafs? Son of a gun. But there was some back history, Tim, that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
Behind this whole naming of Jean Couturier as a captain. Go through that, because I don't think a lot of people know about this.
Well, there's a theory that draws from information that we have over the last year or so. And this theory was put out there by Flyers Nation, which is one of the more popular Flyers accounts on Twitter or X. And basically his message and theory is that the naming Couturier captain was not Torts' idea. It came down from above, whether that was ownership or Briere or somebody else. Wasn't his choice. They didn't want to have a captain. And here's why. Torts was very adamant in black and white in print and press conferences last year, including last season earlier, that there would be no captain during this season, 23-24 season, with quotes. Here's the quote. There won't be a captain next year, so you don't have to ask me next year. That was in March 2023.
It's pretty black and white.
Here's the next quote. There will not be a captain next year. And the third quote references him specifically. Whether Cooch is here or not, he was injured at the time. Whether Cooch is here or not, there's no captain next year. It's just the way we're going to go about it here. That was a year ago, less than a year ago. And so obviously Couturier was named captain, and I doubt Torch is the kind of guy that changes his mind. He specifically spoke about next year. He was thinking about a year or two in the future.
He's so great.
Couturier is not his guy, apparently. If you read into this, because I think there's probably something here. And if these guys are clashing, remember Couturier's quote, "It's frustrating the way that I've been treated around here." These guys are butting heads, and apparently Couturier was not Torch's pick and not his guy, which means there's something here.
I love John Tortorella. I know I had a run-in with him and we had our differences, but you have to respect a guy who just shoots from the hip and tells you like it is. Like, it's so refreshing. You don't have to read between the lines. You don't have to just wonder and read the tea leaves and go, ooh, is he dropping a hint here? Does that mean something else? Is this an innuendo? No, he tells you exactly what he's thinking, and that's it. And he's not changing his mind. And he told us last year. So obviously Danny Briere had other issues. He wanted the captain. He wanted someone to be the face of the franchise. They were trading everybody. They got rid of Giroux. They got rid of Voracek. They wanted a fresh start. They needed somebody to fill that void, and that was Sean Couturier. Longest tenured Philadelphia Flyer. Everybody loves him. Coming back from an injury, a feel-good story. Let's give him the captain. Torts like, no, I don't want to give him the captain. We're going to give him to him anyways. Sometimes you don't get that decision if you're the coach, unfortunately. And they give him the C, and Torts is like, I don't like that. It's like Moneyball. When Billy Bean is a GM, he's like, you're going to play the team I put there. And the coach is like, I manage my team. I don't get any trades. His all-star first baseman, Pena,
yeah,
or whoever it was.
He's like,
well, you can't play him now. I just traded him to the White Sox. So what? And yeah, they're like, oh, Couturier is the captain. Oh, yeah, I'm going to healthy scratch him. He's going to be the captain for the press box. That's going to be a good spot for him.
Captain Hot Dog.
Captain Hot Dogs. That's his new name. So in what it boils down for me is it's a pride issue, and pride's a funny thing because John Tortorella has an immense amount of pride. He wants to be right. He has that cachet, and he deserves to have, you know, a lot of say in how his team works. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's been successful in multiple cities. He's coached this team to a playoff position where they rightfully shouldn't be in a playoff position right now based on what's happened this year. Their starting goaltender, Carter Hart, embroiled in that controversy in Canada, just cut from the team, trading away all their players, putting together a ragtag group of guys, and they're in a really good spot to get into the playoffs, Tim. So he deserves a lot of accolades, naming a captain he doesn't like. So he's in a tough spot, but at what point do you just have to take a back seat and say, am I doing what's best for the team? You don't think we could throw Sean Couturier on the fourth line, third line, send a message that way? And say, you know what? We're going to cut your minutes. Instead of being on the first line or the second line, we're going to put you with Delorier. We're going to put you with Hathaway. I just want you to be mean potatoes, go out, hit people, be responsible defensively, and then you're going to work yourself back up into a more minutes role. Maybe we'll put you on the second power play unit if you deserve it. Or does his pride get in the way? And he says, you know what? I didn't want this guy as my captain. I'm going to send a message to Briere. I'm going to send a message. Who is it? Is the CEO or the president, Eddie Olchuk or so? Or who was the guy who worked for TNT?
Yeah. Yeah. It was Olchuk. Yeah.
The president. It was not Eddie. It's Jones, someone. Anyways, is he sending a message that way saying, you guys didn't, you know, have me in this discussion? I didn't want him as a captain. Is it at the cost of the team? Because I feel like Sean Couturier is a pretty darn good player. You know what I mean? He has put up some really good points this year. Yes, he's in a slump. But if you do make those playoffs, who would you rather have out there? Ryan Poling or Sean Couturier? Noah Cates or Sean Couturier? It's Sean Couturier. The guy's a good player. He's a proven NHL. I'm not going to call him a star. He's a valuable player. So at what point does your pride get the better of you? Were you just like, I'm going to make a point. I'm going to, you know, start throwing barbs. And I know I'm right, but I could really ruin the relationship with my captain and just scuttle this whole team. Because Coots is, I'm guessing, popular in the room. He's been around for a long time, and he has the ear of a lot of the players. So you risk fracturing the locker room completely, absolutely fracturing it, just to be right, just to prove a point, to say, yeah, see, we won. I was right. He's not my captain. I don't need him. I'm the coach. So at some point, I think Torts maybe goes a little too far to prove a point, to say, I'm the man. I make the decisions. This is what's best for the team. I can do it. Yeah, maybe you win the battle, you lose the war type deal with John Tortorella. So, early results are great. They need to iron this out, and they need to iron it out fast. You need this guy to be on the in the lineup and be playing well, because he's in your life for the next 7 years. As far as I know, John Tortorella does not have a 7-year contract. Sean Couturier does. And I don't think any GM is, you know, clamoring to get Sean Couturier on their team, a 31-year-old player with a huge history of injuries, and he's making $7.75 million a year. So they got to make this work, and they got to make it work fast. But to answer the question, I don't think it was a good idea. He scratched him. I think it's great for us to talk about. But boy, oh boy, they need to go to couples therapy. Sit down in the room and just, you know, hash things out. This is bad.
Now it's like, okay, when does he dress him again? Is he back in next game? And where in the lineup do you put him? Like you said, do you put him back where he belongs in the top six, or do you still kind of punish him by putting him in the fourth line, or do you sit him while you keep winning? You probably do that, right? If you keep winning, you keep him in the press box. But again, like, to your point, you're not a better team with Sean Couturier watching with a hot dog. You know what I mean? Like, he helps your team. And even if you feel like he needs to be better, put him on the fourth line. That way, you know, you can still have him in a shutdown role if you need to. You can still have him take a key faceoff late in the game if you need to. You can move him up the lineup if you need to. He's just, your team's better with him on the ice. And The other question is, if these two guys can't coexist, which I don't think we'll get to this point, but people are saying, like, which one should Briere as GM prioritize? Like, Torch is making everything happen correctly right now, but to your point, he's doesn't have the longevity that you've committed to Sean Couturier. So which one is, who would be the odd man out? Who has to go? I don't think we'll get to that point. We're talking about, you know, grown-ups here, but the question's got to be asked.
Tortorella's got 2 more years left on his contract. He's making 4 schmil a year. So, goodness gracious, those coaches make a lot of money. $4 million a year. Maybe I should be a coach. You think we could get into that?
Maybe. I run the defense, you run the forwards.
I can't run a forward. Are you kidding me?
I can't.
That'd be awful. That'd be terrible. We'd be a train wreck. Assistant coaches is where it's at. Less responsibility. Maybe I'll run the PK. I could do that. But I think end game here. Oh, go ahead.
No, senior vice president of player analysis and hockey operations.
Yeah. That's my one regret. I didn't stay with the franchise long enough to lock in like one of those deals, like Derek Stepan now with the Minnesota Wild. We're just going to have you job shadow everybody. And then whatever one you like, then you can do that. There you go.
Yeah. It's like, we're bringing in lunch at noon. And
what a joke.
3:30. Yeah.
Like, how do you fall into that? The guy didn't even play for the Wild. Now he gets to job shadow everybody. You know, you're going to be the GM one day. Let's just put that out there. 100% GM, Derek Stepan. But first, we want you to get a feel of the company, of the franchise. So you could be a scout for a couple weeks. And if you don't like that, maybe you can go run power play. And if you don't like that, maybe you can just go and make eggs for the guys in the morning. That'd be fun.
We should have him back on and check in. Like, which ones do you like so far?
You know, we honestly should. How's it going? How's your job shadowing going? And he's going to be like, oh, it's going good. You know, I took a couple vacations. We went here for 2 weeks and there for 2 weeks. And I was in Minnesota for a couple days and I popped in. And oh, yeah. Did you go scout? Did you go to Iowa? No, I just heard Iowa's pretty cold in the winter. Nah, I'm not doing that. I scouted some teams in California a couple times, but that's when we were on vacation and I popped in for like one period.
There's this guy in the Wild, Kaprizov. He's really good. He's really good. I think he's, I got to make sure people know that.
Yeah, I like him. I think we should hold on to him. And then for some reason, we're not spending all the money we could. I don't know why. Like our cap is only like 50 million. Is there a reason we're not spending all the money we should? There's dead money, Derek. Oh, what's dead money?
We're picking on Derek on for no reason.
I know. Poor Derek. He's a good dude. But it's just like these jobs. How do we get here? Anyways, I think they need to smooth it out. They will coexist. It seemed like Sean Couturier, I know he made that comment, it's frustrated the way I've been treated, but he also says, I got to just work through it. And that's all I can control. So maybe he'll take that route and just get on the ice, work his bag off, get back on the ice, because that's what Tortorella will respect. He'll respond to that. But I tell you what, if he gets on the ice and starts loafing around in pregame skate or the next day's practice, Torts will ruin him. Absolutely ruin him. The one thing he doesn't respect or respond to is players who are entitled. And if he gets on that ice and he just is bitching and moaning and complaining and shooting pucks into the boards, Torts will bury him and he won't see the ice again. That I know for a fact. And you look at the Flyers schedule, murderer's row the next couple days. In the next week and a half, they got the Carolina Hurricanes, Boston Bruins, Florida Panthers, New York Rangers. That's their next four games.
Wow.
And then you add the Leafs before that. Arguably the five top teams in the NHL. And so this is a make or break stretch for the Philadelphia Flyers. And if you don't have Sean Couturier in that stretch, it's tough. You need this guy in the lineup. It eases up a little bit after that, but these next four games will dictate their season. That's how close it is in the Eastern Conference right now for these guys. And the Red Wings are playing well. The Washington Capitals are playing really well. They'll lose that third spot in the Atlantic really, really fast. Or it's not the Atlantic, it's the Metropolitan or whatever division it is. So. It's fun to talk about, Tim. Anything else on these guys?
No, I want to tell everyone about Wendy's. Every all-star needs a sidekick. John, you're an all-star. You know this. You need a sidekick to support them. That's me. Just like Wendy's meal.
That's me.
Nice. Just like every Wendy's meal needs a six-piece of nuggets. As of right now, Wendy's is teaming up with Daily Faceoff Fantasy to bring you weekly prizes like free nuggets, burgers, and more. So if you think you're an expert in all things hockey, prove it. And if you aren't already, start adding a six piece to your Wendy's order for just $3.49. It's a dynamic duo you never saw coming. Sign up for daily
You are struggling.
I think I go too fast. Okay? Sign up for daily Faceoff today, sponsored by Wendy's and the Wendy's app. Sorry, Wendy's. Sorry, Wendy. I'll do better next time.
But congratulations, USA. This is one we can do.
Yes.
It's not just Canada. It's worldwide.
Why?
I used to work for a fast food chain. I'm not going to say who. It's not Wendy's.
You've told this,
Tim,
story.
I used to take lunch break.
Ugh.
And you could get whatever you want. Make your own burger. I'd have like a four patty burger and then like as much nuggets as I could fit in the box. Oh, man. It's back when I was young and could eat anything and just crush it. I'm talking like 30 to 40 nuggets. Like, I'm not talking 10.
That'll paralyze you.
Oh man, Tim,
body down.
You would have cried at the amount of food. I got fired from that job because I would sneak burgers I would make them and put them in my apron, and then I would store them in the freezer, and then I would go in the freezer every like 25, 30 minutes, an hour, and eat them. And then I would leave the wrappers in the freezer. Did that all summer. And then the managers, they were talking and they're like, we keep finding wrappers in the freezer. And I was dubbed the freezer bandit. So one time they caught me and they're like, you've been stealing so many hamburgers. I'm like, I just get really hungry when I work. I don't know. And they just fired me. And they said, this is your last shift. And then he goes this, we'd like you to stay and finish your shifts, you know, so you can help clean up and mop the floors and this and that. I'm like, I'm not, you just fired me. I'm not staying and mopping your floor. I think his name was Eeyore or Igor or Leor or something. I left, but oh, I ate so many burgers. I remember one time I used to be a bad kid. I stole a whole box of frozen patties. That's how you know it's not Wendy's, because they were, Wendy's is never frozen. But I stole a whole box of these patties and I took them camping with me with my buddies. I was like the king coming in. Yeah, look who's got the burgers. What a joke. Yeah, that was one of my summer jobs. Very fun. There you go. Anyways, moving on. The GM meetings were happening, Tim. What's going on at the GM meetings?
Yeah, down in Florida, not a ton of huge developments, but a few things that were discussed that I want to just touch on. The first is a 3-on-3 overtime. It was talked about whether they wanted to change this, whether you thought it was working or not. Turns out they're not going to make any changes. I think this gets brought up at every meeting. The one thing they did talk about was possibly extending it to 7 minutes, like the ECHL does, instead of 5. But the idea didn't find any traction. So probably we're going to see that stick for another year or two, as is right now.
Which is fine. I like the overtime. I think, you know, when you look back, what, 15 years ago, the 5-on-5 didn't really do anything. A lot of games ended in ties. What they need to do is incentivize winning in overtime more. I think that's the next logical step. Everybody's talked about it. It seems really easy to make that change. If you win in overtime, you get 3 points. If you lose in overtime, you get 1 point. If you win in regulation, you get 3 points. So that's the incentivization to go for in overtime. And then if you win in a shootout, you get 1 point. If you lose a shootout, or sorry, if you win in a shootout, you get 2 points. If you lose in a shootout, you get 1 point. So it gives you more, you know, chutzpah to go after it in overtime rather than wait for the shootout. So we get penalized for not winning in an overtime. That's what I would do. I don't know. Because I like the shootout, but I think you should get more points for winning it when it's, you know, 3-on-3. And then it would just make it more exciting. Pull your goalie. I think you should get rid of the pull your goalie. Lose a point. I don't think you should have that. Because I'd like rather watch teams pull their goalie.
I think the players, too, would rather play 2 more minutes than go to shootout, wouldn't they? 100%. They don't like deciding the games that way.
Or if, you know what would make it really fun? Everybody has to play. So you can't play Connor Bedard again until everybody on your roster has stepped foot on the ice. That would be fun. So you just, it's just almost like minor leagues, or when you're a kid and you just roll, you have one door in, one door out the other. Everybody has to play one shift. Now that would be fun. You would see, you'd see like guys you wouldn't expect to see playing 3-on-3. It'd be fun. It'd be like me in the All-Star game. And I killed it. I was like dominating. Okay. I was doing stuff people had no idea what I could do.
That I believe. The next one here, the line changes. One immediate change that's probably going to come into next season. Players will no longer be able to have their legs dangled over the bench during play. Either on the ice or off the ice. You have to hop on all at once instead of waiting and kind of straddling the boards. You get a warning once, then a bench minor if repeated. And this came out because there was recently an official, I don't know if it was an NHL or not, but was cut by a skate. So they want to just avoid that and keep people either on the bench or off.
Whatever. It's just dumb. It's fine. But it's just like, do we have to make a rule for this? Is it? It's just dumb. Yeah. Don't sit on the bench with your feet over the boards. Okay. It's just like a waste of time. It's such a waste of time. It's like politics when they make these stupid, like here in Traverse City, the local government.
Sure, you want to go down this road?
Yeah, because it's just ridiculous. So the local government, they decided that they want to put out a statement for Israel and Palestine that we don't agree with what's going on over there. We want there to be a ceasefire and everybody to be peaceful, because everybody gives a crap what the local government thinks in Traverse City. That's going to change what's going on over in Israel and Palestine, right? That's going to make a difference. So they waste taxpayer money and they have to draw up this stupid ordinance, and then they have to take it to the council. and then they have to vote on it. Then everybody has to talk because everybody has to be on record saying, oh, no, we support this. Yeah, I don't like it when that happens. Why? What good does it do? It's just such a waste of time, dude. It's an absolute waste of time, and I can't stand it. And then I have to read about it, and it makes my blood boil. And all it does, it makes the people who wrote it and voted for it feel better about themselves. That's all it does. It doesn't change a thing. It doesn't my kids are like, why does everybody have those flags out? The Ukraine flags. I'm like, because they want to make themselves feel good. That's why they put the flags out. Then it doesn't do anything. Ugh. Stuff drives me bonkers, man. It's crazy. All right, moving on.
Just a couple more here. The emergency backup goalie, they discussed professionalizing the position, aka removing the need to have a mechanic or a janitor playing a goalie in an emergency situation.
A mechanic?
Some of these guys were like, some of these guys were not professional goaltenders. None of them are.
They never even played goalie before. They just like, hey, we need a goalie. Is the garbage man still here? Throw some pads on him. Let's go.
They're fun stories, but they're talking about basically eliminating the need for that, for have some random person come in. And so professionalizing the position means allowing for a third goalie on the roster, which of course has cap implications. So you're like, does the third goalie count differently or 50% or whatever? Or their non-waiver rules. If you call someone up as a third goalie, he doesn't have to go through waivers on the way back down. I think they're still ironing that out, which I think is probably a good idea. Just because, you know, they are fun stories, but guys can get hurt. You know, people just, I want to see the best go at it, you know? So they're still figuring that out.
It's tricky. That's interesting. That'll be a big issue because it's easy to find a really good goaltender in big markets. If I'm Toronto, if I'm Edmonton, if I'm Boston, New York, I can find a former pro goalie very easily. They're just around. They're playing men's league. They're just easy to find. If I'm in a smaller market like Arizona, how am I supposed to find a really good goaltender? Right? Like they're just not around in these smaller market southern areas. So I don't know how they work that. That's a tricky one because it definitely gives the advantage to the areas that have like a thriving men's league or, you know, universities that you could pull from. So that'll be a tricky one. If I'm a smaller market in the south, I am not going for this at all. Unless they have, like, you could pay them, like you said, everybody gets 50,000. You get to have a goalie. And then that incentivizes smaller markets to say, hey, can I have you move to Arizona and you could be my e-bug goalie and you just have to be at every home game? That's a tricky one. I don't know if that's going to fly for these smaller teams.
Anyways. The last one here, player safety was discussed. No changes coming there, but George Parros had a great little quote. He said, I take more beatings now than I ever did on the ice, which I think is great. And he probably deserves it. So
because he sucks at his job. There's no rhyme or reason with his suspensions, and I love Georgie. You know, I beat him up a few times, but he there's no transparency. They don't ever give I wish they would compare it to other suspensions, right? Okay, this guy's getting 5. It's very similar to that one who got 2. This is why we're giving 5 for this one and 2 for that one. That would be nice. They never do that. It's just like everything is just chaotic.
Like the legal system, like the precedent stuff, and you can refer back to like this was decided, so which means this is my punishment or not punishment, you know. But
totally agree, and I'm sure you can find a precedent for every hit nowadays. There's been a player safety for 15 years now. I'm sure you could find something. Okay, that hit is very similar to that one, so let's use that and move forward. Oh, he's a repeat offender, so we have to add a few more games. That's understandable. My hit versus Louis Erickson. First time offender, completely clean. I get 7 games. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Dumb.
I have a question for you, John.
Sure.
I saw this being posted on Twitter by Big Head Hockey, which is a very popular account. And he compared 2 first lines for, I would say, not necessarily all young, but up and coming teams. And the 2 lines were the Montreal Canadiens with Caulfield, Suzuki, and Slakowski, or the Red Wings, Lucas Raymond, Dylan Larkin, Alex DeBrincat. Which of those 2 would you rather have now and in the future? Before I ask you that, I want to tell you about the Roll Up to Win promotion with Tim Hortons. You can play on the Tim's app to win prizes, including a daily cash jackpot of $10,000, an all-electric Volkswagen ID4, and a sun-soaked Hilton getaway. Download the Tim's app. Contest goes until March 31st. My Tim's take today, I'd rather have the Montreal Canadiens trio. A little bit younger. I think you have a bigger diversity in talent and skill, with, you know, Caulfield being a goal scorer, Slavkovsky having skill, but the size that goes along with it. And I think Suzuki is, he's probably not as good of a player as Larkin, but it's very close. I think he's probably, you know, 1 and 1A between those two players. So I'd rather have the Canadiens trio.
You know, I hate to agree with you, but I do. And it's just strictly by the age. Like, Raymond, Larkin, and DeBrincat are all 27, 28, 29. Well, Larkin Raymond's and DeBrincat are. Raymond's young. Yeah. But Slavkovsky, Suzuki, and Caulfield are, you know, 20s, 22, 23. And they're just as good. I think Caulfield is very similar to DeBrincat, just a shooter, goal scorer. Suzuki and Larkin kind of match up a little bit. But I think Slavkovsky will be good. I really do. He's taken great. A step this yeah. year. He's playing really solid. It's only his second full season. He's still kind of growing into his body, but he's got 37 points, 68 games. He still hasn't reached his potential, but if he continues to grow, he could be dangerous. So I just can't get on the Iser plan. You know what I mean? I just can't get behind it. So he does know it, man. If you would have saw the look in his eyes, Tim, hates me to his core. I don't fault him. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. Sorry, Steve. It's not doing it. So I'm taking Montreal.
Is it a perfect hatred like yours?
It's very hard to have a perfect hatred. My hatred for Liam O'Brien is absolutely perfect, which is hard to have. It really is. It's a dangerous thing, but it is absolutely perfect. So think about it. Everybody should think about that today. My perfect hatred for Liam O'Brien. And how hard it is to have that. Because you might hate something, but then you could see you could see some good in it. I can't see any good. Liam O'Brien. I hate him. All right, let's do some quick hits and get out of here. That's funny.
Our quick hits, as always, are brought to you by DoorDash. You get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. Download the DoorDash app and use promo code NATION25, all capitals. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms may apply. Nailed it. Okay, Ryan Grinlin.
Tim's patting himself on the back for an ad read. It's great.
And then I couldn't. The very next word.
Ryan Lindgren. Oh, my goodness.
Ryan Lindgren with lower body injury. We talked about him the other day. He's going to miss a few weeks, but the worst was avoided. Could have been a season-ending injury. It wasn't. She should make a full recovery, be back for the playoffs, which is great news.
That is massive for the Rangers. That would have crippled any chance they had at winning a Stanley Cup. And right now they're struggling. They need to start winning some games. So good for them. That's huge for them.
Another defenseman, Jeremy Lauzon of the Predators, is week to week with a lower body injury, which is another kind of blow for a team competing for a playoff spot. He's probably, the second or third most important defenseman on that team. He's among the league leaders in hits. If he doesn't still lead it, he did earlier at this point. So keep an eye on that and how that impacts the Predators' chances of staying in that race. We had a record broken, extended last night. Mark Scheifele had his ninth consecutive 20-goal season for the Jets, and that's a franchise record, which surprises me for a team that's been around that long and had a lot of good players come through. But
it is ninth
straight. Yeah.
Like Dale Hawerchuk didn't do that? That is surprising. Maybe he didn't play there 9 years. Good for Mark Scheifele.
I think probably will go down as an underrated player when his career is all said and done. The last one
is that
here,
a good thing? Do you want to be like, is that good after his career is done? They go, you know, you were better than we thought. Sorry about all that. Should have got a little more accolades.
The playoff is going to be, maybe this is the year they make a run. We see what he does.
I hope they do. I hope. They've just been underperforming year after year. All right. What's this last one? Irks me a little bit. What's this last one?
Yeah, Kulikov, who we talked about last game, was only suspended for 2 games for his hit on Connor Sheary. That was, you predicted 5. Are you surprised?
Well, yeah. We talk about George Parros and, I take more hits when I'm this than when I ever played. It's because of stuff like this. Like, this guy has a clear path to Connor Sheary. Connor Sheary's not even watching him. Kulikov has time to just analyze the situation, read it, and then he still goes through with his hit. He has time to go through the body. He has time to do everything. He doesn't have to hit him, really. He could just take the puck. And he still buries this guy in the head. Picks his head, 100%. That is the exact kind of play that you want out of the game. defenseless person. You're skating full speed at him, or like 80%, and you pick his head. What is right about this situation? This is everything we want out of the game. And he gives him two games. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense at all. Does it? Am I the only one, everybody? Drop a comment if you can explain this to me, because I have no clue how this guy only gets two games. But then this is why, because I could go back probably and pick hits that are exactly like this, that have gotten five games, that have gotten one game, that have gotten no games. Bonkers to me. My hit on Erickson gets seven. Not as bad as this one. Not even close. And I know I bring it back to me, but that's the one I can relate to. I caught some of Erickson's body. He just hits his head. 100% hits his head. And he had time to react, too. And Connor Sheary is not even looking. He's facing the net. At least dumb Louis Erickson was cutting across the middle. Like, he's staring right at me, but he's admiring his dump. Put your head on a swivel, bro. But yeah, two games. Kulikov's like, thank you. I'll have another. There. What are your thoughts on this, Tim? I'm interested.
I don't really have any thoughts on this. I mean, nice. Probably could have been more. Yeah, I understand why you're upset about it, but I didn't see anyone really online even talking about it. I don't think people expected this to be as big as you did. So, he'll be back in a couple days.
People just don't get it. They don't understand hockey like I do. Sometimes it's hard being so smart.
Lonely, isn't it?
It's very lonely. Lonely.
I'm so lonely.
Mr. Lonely. All right, everybody. On that note, I hope
There's a tweet I want to read. Is this really him? Brandon Dubinsky tweeted about Torts, and I want to read this to you. I have not even read it. I just read the beginning of it. Thank you, Andrew, for sending this in, one of our listeners. He tweeted this out about 2 hours ago. Torts, your tactics are getting old. Instead of scratching and embarrassing your captain, one of your best players, how about try and tell him, I'm giving you 20 minutes tomorrow night, no matter what, with power play and PK. Go play free, have fun, and get it done. Hashtag free Couturier.
Yeah, me thinks he doth protest too much. This is a guy whose Torts done this to before. He's obviously having like relapse, like post-traumatic Torts syndrome, where he's just like, oh, I remember when this happened to me. Because yeah, Torts did this to Doobie probably plenty of times. So that's not Torts. Yeah, you honestly think John Tortorella, if a player is playing bad, he's going to go, you know what? I know you're struggling. I'm going to give you a ton of ice, and I'm going to get you in the power play, and everything's going to be okay. Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
That might work. That could work. But that's just not his style. That's really funny, Doobie. Oh, Brandon. I still owe Brandon a lot of money. Not going to pay him any of it. But
for what? Cards?
No. We racked up quite the wine bill one night in Washington, and I wasn't paying for it. So we made him pay for it. It was like $6,000 or something. I was like,
how many people?
Like four of us. No. Oh, no. It was after, like, we had a team meal, and then the team left. And then me, Zuccarello, Jeff Wojwodka, and Doobie was hurt. So Doobie stuck around, and we just kept ordering wine. And we're just having a good time, shooting the breeze. And then the bill came. Or no, the team paid for it because it was on the team's card. But then the team came after us, and they're like, you guys, there was like 12 bottles of wine after, like, how does that happen? And we're like, I don't know. Like, we just stuck around. We thought the team was covering it. I'm like, you owe us like $6,000. We're like, Doobie, pay for it. And we just never paid him back for it. So he's good for it. But anyways, that's fine.
We should get him on the show.
Any other tweets you want to bring up?
No, that's a good episode. Right.
That was good. Thank you for sharing that. Ask him to come on the show. That'd be interesting. See if he comes on Friday. Bet you he would. He's got nothing going on, that guy. If he's tweeting, he wants to be heard. So yeah, we'll get him on Friday maybe. All right, everybody. I'm such a jerk. You know what I mean? Like, why do I have to say that? I got to be nice. All right. Thanks everybody for listening. It's a long show of 50 minutes. I hope everybody had a good Wednesday, and we'll talk to you on Friday. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.